Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanis Gober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Welcome back as we continue our discussion of potential passages from A Wrinkle in Time by Madeline L'Engle. Okay, here's my next one. Sorry, I begin springtime sniffles. It seemed to travel with her, to sweep her aloft in the power of song, so that she was moving in glory among the stars. And for a moment, she too felt that the words darkness and light had no meaning, and only this melody was real.
Love
that
it.
Is one of my all-time favorite quotes ever in time, ever, because especially since it is put in context of music. I love music. I am not a musical creative. I can't sing. I can't play an instrument. I'm just terrible. But I love the power of music, and so much of my artistic inspiration often comes from a favorite song or something like that. So this quote just, first of all, it's beautifully written. It's lyrical in and of itself. I just love it. So what do you think? Because I know you are musical. So
no, I love this. And I think that even though, yes, music is the major metaphor, there are visual cues. There's darkness, light, glory among the stars.
I love that. Glory among the stars. Yeah. And
I think it hits at the spirituality.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And what is real? Only this melody is real. You know, in this moment, only this melody is real. And I love it that it says, and for a moment, she too felt, you know, because it's like you have those moments. And sometimes they are associated with music or a poem or a passage you read in a book or something, or just a life experience. You have those moments when one thing stands out as the eternal, the real, and everything else just falls away, you know? So that's a really powerful quote, in my opinion.
It's making me reflect back on some things that I have written. And you know how sometimes like a thought from way back years ago will kind of lodge in there and inspire something unbeknownst to you?
Yes.
I wonder if this is one of those passages for me.
Yeah.
Because I can think of things I've written that are similar to this. Mm-hmm.
And I love that it has that dichotomy of darkness and light, because as a visual artist, that gives me a lot to play with. You know, I could do two paintings, one that's light and bright and, you know, and one that's dark and, you know, I mean, or I could do the two in one. I could somehow make one painting with both in there. I mean, visually there's a lot in this, as well as musically and poetically. And I just feel like this is a really good, really good option. So, okay. Now my next one's a little bit long and it's dialogue. So, but I did a long passage. This one is from chapter 12, but I just love this one because I think it could be so useful. Okay. In your language, you have a form of poetry called the sonnet. Yes, yes, Calvin said impatiently. What's that got to do with the happy medium? Kindly pay me the courtesy of listening to me. Mrs. Watson's voice was stern, and for a moment, Calvin stopped pawing the ground like a nervous colt. It is a very strict form of poetry, is it not? Yes. There are 14 lines, I believe, all in iambic pentameter. There's a very strict rhythm or meter. Yes? Yes, Calvin nodded. And each line has to end with a rigid rhyme pattern. And if the poet does not do it exactly this way, it is not a sonnet, is it? No. But within this strict form, the poet has complete freedom to say whatever he wants, doesn't he? Yes, Calvin nodded again. So, said Mrs. Watson. So what? Oh, do not be stupid, boy, Mrs. Watson scolded. You know perfectly well what I am driving at. You mean you're comparing our lives to a sonnet, a strict form, but with freedom within it? Yes, Mrs. Watson said. You're given the form, but you have to write the sonnet yourself. What you say is completely up to you. Oh, I just love that. First of all, it explains a sonnet. You know, it's a very good description of what a sonnet is. You know, it takes me back to my, you know, poetry 101 in college. You know, it's just like, wah! And I just love how Calvin is impatient. I mean, he's a teenage boy. He's impatient. He's like, what? You know, and then he has to come up with his words, you know, to express what she has just taught him. And I just love it. And she's not really talking down to him, but I love that she gets exasperated with him, you know?
Yeah, no, I like too that it is, I don't think we've ever had a quote that was this specific about a poetic or a artistic form.
And so such a long thing of dialogue. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is very unusual for us to have something that's such a, I mean, a lot of this is no, but with, you know, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. I mean, it's really, I don't think we've had a lot of passages that are mostly dialogue.
Right.
Monologue, maybe, but not dialogue. So.
And I think it is very representative of what people remember about the book, which are these, you know, crazy characters like Mrs. What's-It talking to the kids, explaining complex ideas.
Yeah. So I think I felt like this gave a lot. Even though it's a little bit longer, people could find within it different sections of it that really spoke to them. As a whole, you want the context, like you said. This is the context of a lot that happens in the book are passages of dialogue between an adult or a and when I say adult, I mean human or spiritual entity, whichever, you know, and a child. And so having a passage that clearly is that give and take between adult presence and a childlike presence is one thing you could take from this, but there's also within it a lot of smaller sections that could be used for the project. So if nothing else, this one probably, you know, I was thinking a lot about how we could discuss it just between ourselves in a podcast episode. There's something about this that just really spoke to me.
And it means we have to write a sonnet.
I know. It's like we need to do a workshop on sonnet writing.
There we go.
Yeah. The one other thing I want to say about this is it's really that last sentence, but without context, it's not as powerful. You know, I should say the last quote. Yes, Mrs. What's-It said, you're given the form, but you have to write the sonnet yourself. What you say is completely up to you. That's really by itself would be a great jumping off point for inspiration, creative inspiration, dialogue in a podcast, that kind of thing. But I wanted to include the whole passage as context for that conclusion, if you will. So that's all I want to say about that passage. Okay.
Yay! Would you call this one a top tier or a second tier?
Because it's so long, I would put it in the second tier.
Okay.
But I think we could make the argument that it might rise to the top when we come back to this.
Okay.
You know, because we're going to come back and talk about each book's potential passages to try to get our one passage from each book, right? This could rise to the top. I mean, in that discussion. Right now, we're just kind of quick and dirty saying, what do we think? What's our gut instinct? I'd say second tier right now, though. Yeah.
Great. Those were great selections, Alice. I love them.
Thank you. Now let's move on to your potential passages from A Wrinkle in Time.
Excellent. The first one I have is, you see, though we travel together, we travel alone.
Oh my God, I love that one too. I had that one marked, so I'm so glad you put it in there. That's just, I mean, the together, alone, travel. Oh my goodness, there's so much. There's so much that we could do with that. I mean, that's life's journey, right?
It is extremely short, but it has some possibility.
For the project, I have to say that I feel like, you know, people, if we just put that quote up, I bet you anything, not a lot of people, and said, if we had like a little, not contest, but a little thing that said, you know, identify this quote. I wonder how many people would actually be able to identify it as being from A Wrinkle in Time without cheating and Googling the line. You know,
that's a good question.
You know, it's almost like this is so standalone. You know, you really don't need the book. You know, this is just a passage that works all by itself. And mm-hmm. so in that respect, it's a pretty good choice for the project.
Do you see that one as second tier, third tier? It's so short to me, it is not a first tier one.
Okay, I'll go with that. Second tier.
Okay.
It may rise to the top. We don't know. Hmm.
And then my next quote is one that you already has. So okay. I'll just okay. go ahead and delete it.
That's the temporal and eternal. Yeah, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like and equal are not the same thing at all.
That's like the first one you chose. That's just one line, so simple, not necessarily identifiable to this book, but mm-hmm. man, I love that one. And I think like and equal are not the same thing at all. I think that could just be a great prompt for creative vision and inspiration that, you know, stands alone in a way even more so than the first quote. You know, it, like and equal could be interpreted to be about a lot of different things, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Yeah, for me, that one could even go into a discussion about race.
Yeah, I think this is top tier because it's speaking in terms, it literally is talking about using the word like and equal to. You know, it's like, it's a grammatical distinction is what's being said here. But I think it supersedes that. It goes beyond that. And so the discussion we could have about this quote, how it reflects in the book, as well as in the greater world out there all by itself, could certainly be powerful. So I'm really liking that one a lot.
And that's actually all I have because I realized that I like some passages to put them in there twice.
Oh, okay. Isn't that funny when we do that? Well, mm-hmm. I love our potential passages from A Wrinkle in Time. I think like Sula and the yellow wallpaper that we talked about the last times we were together, I think this is going to be very hard to choose a passage from this book. Mm-hmm. This is the so much fun and challenging part of our project is coming up with our four books mm-hmm. and then our four passages. It's so hard. We love so much. Join us next time as we continue our discussion of the potential passages from all four of our books chosen for the 2021 NICE project.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.